man came up, saw the victim lying there, but made no attempt whatsoever to help him. And it's also a story about that rare and wonderful individual who sees a need and does whatever is necessary to meet it. A Samaritan came upon the wounded man and had compassion. He had pity on him. And his sympathy was immediately translated into a practical service. He administered roadside first aid. Then he carried the man to an inn and cared for him through the night. And the next morning, before he left, he made arrangements for his continued care until the man could travel again. Now, this story is our Lord's interpretation of an ancient Jewish law. It's written in the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter and the 18th verse. It says, we all know this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, most of us are very familiar with this command. We know it's in the Bible. We know that Jesus set great store by it. And we agree that it's a beautiful concept. But many of us rarely ever go beyond that. For the most part, we don't take it very seriously. But suppose we did. Suppose we decided to try to live by it, to truly love our neighbors as ourselves. What would that mean in your life and in mine? Well, first of all, how and where should we start? Well, for one thing, we would have to define the word neighbor. Exactly who is it that we're supposed to try to love as ourselves? Well, Jesus told this story in response to that very question. A lawyer who knew the law, believed in it, and apparently wanted to live by it, asked him, who is my neighbor? And that's actually a very logical question. You know, that was a widely discussed and heatedly debated issue back in the time of Jesus. The Jews did not consider Gentiles as neighbors. They were strangers and aliens who did not belong with the chosen people of Israel. Greeks were regarded as barbarians, and they were beneath contempt. Rome had one set of laws for its citizens and another set of laws for its conquered people. The world was deeply divided by racial, religious, social, and cultural boundaries. But of course, Jesus would have no part of that. You see, with one simple story, he breached all the boundaries, and he erased all of the lines that separated people. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, who was that man? What was his race, his religion, his social standing, his culture? Now, it's commonly assumed that the man was a Jew, since his journey began in Jerusalem. That may be a reasonable assumption, but it is nevertheless an assumption. The fact is, Jesus did not identify that man at all, except by gender. And he only did that to make the story more believable, because no woman would travel by herself on that dangerous road back in those days. In the eyes of Jesus, that lone traveler was simply a man, a human being. As to race, he could have been a Jew or a Gentile. As to religion, he could have been a faithful worshiper of the one God, an idolater, or an atheist. As to his character, he could have been a paragon of virtue, or he could have been a vile degenerate. Notice that Jesus left all those questions unanswered, because in his mind, none of them mattered. The only thing that mattered to him was the fact that there was a human being lying beside the road, wounded and needing help. Two men came by and saw him. They made no attempt whatsoever to render aid. Now, looking back across the centuries, the conduct of that priest and that Levite seems, I mean, it's utterly reprehensible. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. How could two people, especially religious people, be so callous and inhumane? But you know, when we bring this story a little closer to home, when we view it in the light of our own experience, it takes on a different quality. I mean, I have to ask you this morning, folks, can any of us absolutely be sure that we never have and we never will play that part? You know, they were not wicked men, utterly devoid of human compassion. Perhaps there was an emergency in their family and they had to get there as soon as possible. Perhaps they feared for their own safety. I mean, those same robbers might be hiding somewhere, just waiting for somebody to come along and try to help that guy, and then they would jump in. Besides, how could they be certain that the man himself was not a thief or a criminal who had simply been outsmarted and overpowered by other criminals? In fact, there are a dozen good excuses for not getting involved. There always has been, and there always will be. And I have to tell you, some of them are not without merit. It is a risky business to really get involved in human need. You could be deceived. You could be playing a fool. You could end up wasting your time and your effort and your money. And you could even get hurt. And no doubt the Samaritan recognized all of those possibilities, but still he took the risk of becoming personally involved. He gave his own time. He dressed the man's wounds. He transported him on his own beast. He paid for his lodging and care with his own money. In short, he did for that man what he would have wanted someone to do for him if he was that guy lying on the side of the road, beaten half to death. Now, whether the Samaritan knew the Jewish law or not, it's an open question. But there is no a question that, at least on this occasion, he loved his neighbor as himself. Love to him had real meaning. It meant risk taken, time given, money spent, service rendered. Now, this guy might have donated to charity. You know, he might have sat on committees and planned relief efforts for the orphans in another country, and that would have been all very good indeed. But he would not be remembered as the Good Samaritan. We call him by that name because he knew love in a practical and personal way. You know, whenever you hear the parables of Jesus, you always have to ask yourself, what does that have to do with me? What does this have to do with you and me? You know, I would dare say most of us have never seen a wounded man lying beside the road, and chances are we never will. And if we wait for that specific event, chances are we will never discover the real meaning of love. What we must do is open our eyes to those people around us whose wounds are less dramatic, but no less real. Go to the grocery store. Look at the people walking around. Virtually everyone there, one way or another, is wounded. We walk right past them every day. Some are wounded by loneliness. Some by fear. Some are wounded by guilt. Some have been beaten and robbed by economic circumstances that are beyond their control. Maybe they live next door. Maybe they live across the town. Maybe they even live under your own roof. But wherever they live, wherever they are, whoever they are, and whatever need they have, Jesus described them as neighbor. And he has placed upon us the responsibility to love each one of them, even as we love ourselves.